Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are beginning the Sefer of Micha. Micha is a Sefer which is made up of seven prokem, so it is a very short Sefer, and it is just over 100 psukim, so it's not, the perek length is short, it's between 10 and 20 psukim on average per perek. Let's dive straight in. This first perek is describing the tochacha, the rebuke of the north and the south. And just again, although we did touch on this in the introduction to this, Micha is really living at the times of Yotam ben Azariah, that's the king in the south, who's the father of Achaz, who's the and therefore the grandfather of Chizkiah HaMelech. To parallel that, in the northern kingdom, the king right now is Pekach ben Remaliahu. Pekach ben Remaliahu was essentially the king after a number of rebellions in quick succession. So after Yerovam ben Yoash, who lived a very successful political career, his son Zechariah ben Yerovam was murdered, replaced by Shalom ben Yavesh, who was murdered 1 month later and replaced by Menachem ben Gadi, who 10 years later was assassinated and replaced by Pekach ben Menachem, who 2 years later was assassinated and replaced by Pekach ben Romaliyahu. So this is really is the time that he's living in, and Pekach ben Romaliyahu is the penultimate king in the north, who's followed by Hoshea ben Ela, who will be soon destroyed and vanquished by the Assyrians. So we really are within 30 years of the destruction of the north, just to put things into context, so we can appreciate that his words have a lot of gravity. Already now, this quick succession of kings, this describes or denotes an internal conflict, a unstable kingdom, a encroaching of the north of Assyria, and an inability to be able to change things for the better. So the first pasuk we focused on in the introduction, which is where he is described as beginning the prophecy. He is Micha HaMoirashti. He comes from the city of Morisha, and he is in the days of Yotam, and he is giving prophecies to the north and the south, Al Shomron v'Yerushalayim. The north he's going to call Shomron. That's the area in the, what is called today in some political circles as the West Bank, what we call Judea and Samaria. Shomron is the northern part, Judea is where Yerushalayim is Yehuda, which is the southern part of the kingdom. In the first Kabbal Psukim from Beis to Gimel, he describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear on the earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come down, and Hashem Meherchal Kodshoi, he's going to come out, and V'namasu Harim Tachtov V'amakim Yisbaku, and the ground will split, the hills will melt as he enters. The Mefarshim debate, where is Hashem coming from? The Rashi says his place is in the heavens, whereas Ababanel says, no, the place he's coming from is the Beis HaMikdash, which you've perhaps spent all this time ignoring. As he arrives, there seems to be some sort of wondrous or metaphysical experience that's going on as everything crumbles in front of him. Generally speaking, Hashem's revelation is usually linked to good things, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being here, to there being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is related to bracha and life and sustenance. When Hashem arrives now, it is more in judgment, and that's why everything is crumbling. The earth is disintegrating because the thin veneer of looking useful is now crumbling in his presence as truth approaches him. In Pasuk Hey, he now addresses the sins of Shomron Yerushalayim, and he says, he is coming because Bepesha Yaakov, because the sins of Jacob, Kol Zois V'Chat Ois Beis Yisrael, Mi Pesha Yaakov Haloi Shomron, Umi Banmois Yehuda Haloi Yerushalayim. Where is the sin? It is in Shomron. Where is the Banmois? Where are the altars? They're in Yehuda. It sounds like, unless we view them as the same thing, it sounds like the social crime are more in the north. The Banmois, the altars, the personal altars are in the south. But really across the board, there's religious and there's social crimes which are being described here, which are being brought as part of the indictment. He therefore turns to punish both the north and the south. So first he turns to the north in Pasuk Vav to Zion, where he describes how Shomron, I'm going to turn you into a field. You go there, all the stones are going to be thrown out. Your vineyards are going to be destroyed. You know that the area of Shomron is excellent for vineyards, for wineries, as we have the blessing to see in Israel, tens and tens of wineries in Israel in the mountains, and all these wineries, all these vineyards are going to be destroyed, is what he is telling them. V'chol pesileha yukatu, they will destroy all your graven images. V'chol esnaneha yisrofu, and all the exchanges for prostitution will be burnt. All your images and your Avodah Zarah will be placed in destruction. What is this referring to when you're talking about the Shomron? So the Barbanel suggests that it's referring to their Avodah Zarah. What was the biggest claim against the north? Was that they set up two Egle Zahav, a golden calf in the north, a golden calf in the south, to prevent worshippers going south to the Beis HaMikdash. They set up their own shrines for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately turned into Avodah Zarah. So what is being prophesized over here is he's saying that your Avodah Zarah, your Egle Zahav are going to finally be destroyed. At the same time, I just would wonder here, you know, that we know that part of the reason why the north and ultimately the south as well started paying homage to Assyria and to the nations around them and even started serving the Avodah Zarah was part of the enculturation was for protection, for political protection. So at the times of, let's say, Chizkiyahu's father, Ahaz, which is just really around this time as well, and later on with Menashe, they got to adopt Assyrian Avodah Zarah, they're going to adopt the northern Avodah Zarahs, and part of the reason for that is because when you adopt their culture, you're trying to show how close you are to them, how like them you are, and so that when they will be conquering the area, they will feel after your taxes and your similar enculturation, they're going to protect you. They're going to view you as a good neighbor. So here's the irony, is that when Assyria is going to come in, what is he being told? Well, as soon as Assyria comes in, he's going to destroy all your idols, meaning all the culture you borrowed from Assyria in an effort to protect yourselves from Assyria, they're going to destroy it. And this is the truth about Jewish history all the way through, where Jews come to new societies and they adopt, but not only adopt, they perfect the deities, they perfect the success in that culture. The ultimate is thrown back in their face. They're going to come and they're going to destroy your atzabim, all the things you worshipped in that society, even though you did it to make that society better and you thought that they would respect you for it. That's what seems to be happening over here in Pasuk Zion. Finally, in the last section of this parak, from Pasuk Ches to the end in Tes Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now lists, through the words of Micha, a long list of cities which are going to now be destroyed. And it's formed as a kinna almost. It's introduced in Pasuk Ches as Alzois Espada Ve'elila. I'm going to now cry out, I'm going to eulogize about all of these cities. And it's going to be like the Mispeid Ketanim. It's going to be this eulogy like the serpent, the Evel Kivnoisi Ana, and this mourning like either the ostrich or like a type of owl, which are both clearly desert animals. And the idea is you're going to be empty, you're going to be desolate like a desert. And he goes on to describe all the cities which are going to be affected. Begat Alta Gidu, Bachoy Altivku, Ubeves La'afra. For his paloshi. So he uses words to describe the destruction and mourning of each place, which are related to the name of that place. And he goes through a long list of cities which are going to be destroyed. And what is fascinating about this is that we do, and this is referring to Yehuda, this is the south that he's referring to now. It is interesting, if you go to Melachim Beis, Perek Yod Ches, which describes the onset of the final destruction, when Shalam Neser, who is the king of, or the emperor of Assyria, attacks the northern kingdom. He talks about a siege of 3 years, and he destroys the whole area. And then in Pasuk Perek Yud Ches Yud Gimel, in Melachim Beis, it describes how then this extended itself down southwards. Uvarba Esrei Shana leMelech Chizkiyahu, on the 14th year of Chizkiyahu, so this is a number of years later, Allah Sancheiriv Melech Ashur, now the king is no longer Shalom Neser, but it's Sancheiriv, Al kol orei Yehuda habetzurois vayit pesem. He captured the cities of Yehuda. That means to say that it was only Yerushalayim, which was the last bastion under the siege, and that's when this miracle happened. The Sancheiriv's troops were miraculously repelled, and they died of a plague miraculously. They had not returned to Assyria, but before then, the villages and all the smaller strongholds had been captured, even in the area of Judea. That is exactly what Micha is referring to. He's giving the precursor to that. He's describing all these places. You think these places are so strong in the south? Well, don't worry. They're all going to be destroyed. What is interesting about this is if you go to Yeshayahu Perek Yud, Psukim Chav Ches to Lamed Beis, he also describes, also is living at the same time, Yeshayahu is warning about the onset or the encroaching of Assyria, and he also lists a number of cities. He goes, Bo Alayas Ovar, B'migron, Le Michmash Yafkid Kelov, Avru Ma'abro Geva Malon Lanu, Charda HaRama, give us Shaul Nasa. He talks about all these cities. Rama, give us Shaul. All these cities which are, you know, Lachish, Beis Galim, and Asois are all going to be captured in Yehuda. And they're all different cities. So it's funny, like in the description of all these cities which are being captured, Yeshayahu and Micha are referring to the same period when Assyria is going to come down to take siege of the south. They describe different cities, which leads the Da'at Mikra in his commentary to this first parak to note that actually, if you look at the map of destruction of the Assyrians into the land of Judea in the south of the land of Israel, you'll see that there are two pathways. One's along the coastal plains, and one is along the mountain path. And that is precisely what is happening over here. So Yeshayahu is describing one pathway of attack, and Micha is describing another pathway of attack, which ultimately all lead to the siege on Jerusalem. Finally, the last thing to think about, and that is the last pasuk, and that is Karchi v'gozi al b'nei tanugayich harchivi karchoseich kaneshiki golo mimeich. It talks about cutting and removing your hair and all your beauty. Why is that? So Mitzvot points out, he's talking to the land, and he's saying, land, pull out your hair, cut your hair off in mourning, because your people are going to be going into destruction. What a terrible precursor, and unfortunately only too true. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.